Good morning, church family, from Helen.
And Graham.
Hi, everybody, it's Vi.
Good morning, church family, from Rosemary.
And Michael Seven.
Good morning, church family,
from the Elliots and Fermanagh.
Good morning, church family, from Trevor.
Good morning, church, from Mary.
Hello, church family, from Harry and Heather Howell.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning, church family, from Freddie
and Linda McLaughlin.
Good morning, everyone.
From Rob and Margaret.
Morning, church family.
From McCarrigan.
Hello, church family, from the Montgomerys.
Good morning, church family, from the Camerons.
Good morning and thank you for joining us this morning. I hope this service is an encouragement to you in these challenging days. We're going to be thinking this morning about the ascension of Jesus, that incredibly dramatic scene when he was taken from the company of the disciples after being crucified, dying, buried and resurrected. Then he was taken to be with the Father in heaven, where he rises up into the sky and they're left bewildered as they watch. But in the middle of it all, Jesus says that all power has been given to him. And it's great for us to know today that the power of Christ is not something which is stuck up in heaven, but in fact is living through the Holy Spirit in each of us who believe in him. Peter reminds us of this when he says, Christ's divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. That's an incredible thing to know, that the power of Christ is living in us in these difficult days. Because of that, we're going to sing with gratitude an old hymn sung by a new convert who was really grateful for everything that God had done for him. It's the hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Interest in the Savior's blood.
Hi kids, gonna start with a question. How high can you jump up in the air? Can we give it a go now? Let's stand up. After three, one, two, three. Another word for up is to ascend. If we were in school, sports day would be coming up soon, but unfortunately, it's not unlikely to happen this year. Sadly, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics can't happen this year either. But here's a fact. Charles Austin from the USA jumped 2.39 metres to clear the high jump in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. This height is approximately the same height as the curtain rail in your living room. Please don't try this at home. Charles Austin jumped up, but he did come back down again. Today, we're going to hear about Jesus, who also went up, or the Bible says, ascended into heaven. He went to be with God, our Father. But hang on, he hasn't come back down yet. Joy is going to read a paraphrase of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 11 from the Jesus Storybook Bible.
A few days later, as they walked together, Jesus told his friends, "It's time for me to go home to my Father. There's a place for you. I'll get it ready." Then he said, "Go everywhere and tell everyone the happy news. Tell them I love them so much that I died for them." Suddenly, the whole sky was filled with a dazzling light. "Now everyone can come home to God," Jesus said. "Death is not the end of you. You can live forever with your Father in heaven because I have rescued the whole world."
What an incredible part of God's big story. He has rescued the world through his Son's life, death, and resurrection. As we heard in our story, Jesus wanted his disciples to tell the whole world the good news about him and to encourage others to live their lives for him too. His instructions were not just for those disciples, they're also for us. He wants us to be his disciples too and help everyone to get ready for the day he comes back again. Let's listen to the next part of the story.
And something amazing happened. Jesus rose up into the bright air, higher and higher. They shaded their eyes and watched him go until a cloud hid Jesus so they could not see him anymore. They stood looking up into the sky for a long time. Suddenly, two shining men appeared. "What are you doing? Jesus has gone up to heaven. But one day he will come back in the same way you saw him leave, from heaven and from the sky." "How can Jesus be with us and leave us at the same time?" they wondered. But then they remembered. Jesus had told them, "I am going to send you a special present. God's power is going to come into you. God's Holy Spirit is coming."
Jesus promises that we will not be alone. The Holy Spirit has been left as a special gift. The Bible tells us, when we love Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside us, and he is our helper to give us power to live our lives for him and to tell others about him. So, how can we be a disciple? Firstly, we need to become Jesus' friend. We need to say sorry for our sins and say yes to living for him. Everything we need to know is in the Bible. Learn it, live it, and share it with others. We have a song we sing in Lighthouse called Shine. Hopefully you'll remember the actions. Can you stand up and do the actions with me for the last wee bit? Let's do it together now.
Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. You know me and you love me. You feel me, so send me.
This is helpful for us to remember as we live out our mission to be a light to the world until Jesus comes back to make all things new again.
So it's great to have Peter Carrigan joining us as well this morning. He's on board a ship, but I'm going to let him fill you in on that. Welcome to our broadcast, Pete. It's really good to have you. Just tell us where you are and how long you've been there.
Cool. Right now, I'm docked in Kingston, Jamaica, but I'm on board a ship, Logos Hope, which is with the organisation Operation Mobilisation, and I've been with them for about 8 months now.
So in the past 8 months, Pete, where all have you been?
So far I've been, we spent the first 3 months in Brazil, then we moved on to the Caribbean. So we were in Guyana, Trinidad, Barbados, St. Vincent, and then into Jamaica as well.
It sounds like a really hard year that you're having, Pete. Don't answer or comment on that, but tell us about some of those experiences before lockdown. What did a typical week look like for you, and what was one particular highlight even?
Yeah. So a typical week for me, working in the engine room as well. I work 5 days a week in the engine room, 9 to 5 usually, just either helping out with the engineers, doing maintenance work, whatever it could be that week. But ministry-wise, it looks... the ship in general, we have a book fair on board and a cafe on board, so we invite the public on board. We can go there at any time as well and share with them. One day a week, we have a thing we call Sea Days, which is like a ministry day where we go out to a church or prisons or whatever it could be, refugee camps, anything like that. And yeah, actually one of my highlights would be on those Sea Days, being able to go into places like refugee camps in Belém, for example, in Brazil. I got to go into a Venezuelan refugee camp and share with a few of the people, do some kids ministry there, share with them the little gospel bracelets as well, how to share the gospel with those bracelets. Just really cool opportunities to share and sort of help them out as well.
Great. And obviously with the COVID-19, it's affected us over here in Northern Ireland. Has it affected you guys in this ship? And what does life look like now?
Yeah, well, thankfully we didn't get any cases on board at all. Thankfully we were completely safe from that. We shut down as soon as, or we closed as soon as the first case came into Jamaica. So, because there was no guarantee. So we've closed the ship now for about 70 days. We've been closed to all public ministry. So we've been in lockdown on board the ship, where we've actually started a program called Developing or Building Each Other Up in the Spirit. So it's building together in the spirit. Sorry. So we, as a crew, are now building in unity in the spirit, sort of getting deeper into God's word together with different workshops, different opportunities to learn from different teachers on board. We have some small groups going on as well. Some men's ministry that I'm helping run, and some ministry in our departments as well, where we can, yeah, just continue to grow deeper into God's word together.
Great. Well, it really sounds as though you're following in your dad's footsteps in the really practical service and also in the men's work, and that's great to see. What would you say God's been teaching you on your time in the ship as you reflect on that?
Yeah, so one thing, as I was getting onto the ship, my prayer was that God would push me out of my comfort zone a lot of the time. Firstly, one of those was just sharing the gospel with anybody that I could. One of my best friends on board, Jacob from Texas, he showed me just what it looks like to go out and just, even on your off days, you're sharing the gospel with people as you meet them on the street. That was one thing that I really learned that was really important, really vital to my ministry as I was here. Another thing is being able to stand up and do public speaking as well. I never thought I would be able to really do that as much as I could here. So I got opportunities to sort of MC events and preach as well in some churches around in Brazil and in Jamaica as well. Yeah, they're two very...
Great. Well, we could do with a good preacher back in Hamilton Road. So tell us what your plans for the next 3 months, and when do you plan to be back in Bangor?
Yeah, so the plan is, well, right now my flight or my idea is that I'll be leaving from wherever we are on the 20th of August to head back. But obviously all things can change. No one really knows where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing at that stage. These are very sort of uncertain times that we're in. So Yeah, well, that's the plan. About 3 more months on board, and then I'll be back.
Great. So, Pete, how can we pray for you? And anything that you'd like to say to the church?
Yeah, so you can pray for me as I continue in leadership roles. Right now, I'm leading coffee. We have like a coffee club on board, different other things as well. We have an engine church that I lead and a brotherhood thing that I help lead as well, as I said before. So just pray for time management in that. It's quite difficult to manage our time on board with so many events and so many different things. So time management, and then for the crew in general as well, growing together in unity in the spirit in this time as we continue to build together, that people will be motivated to continue that even if some people are leaving in a few months as well. And yeah, just something to say as well, I'm very, very thankful. I just want to thank everybody that's been praying for me, supporting me. It really does mean a lot, and I wouldn't be here without you guys, your support, and it's really good for you guys to partner with me in this. Really, really amazing. Thank you.
Well, it's been great to hear from you this morning. I'm sure folks will be praying and keeping in touch over WhatsApp and email, and we do look forward to having you back in Bangor. So keep safe, and we'll see you soon, Pete.
I'm really pleased to be able to tell you today that we've put together another video with lots of people from the congregation singing together one song. And I hope you enjoyed this one this morning. It's He Will Hold Me Fast, and it reminds us that nothing can ever take us away from the wonderful love of Christ.
Thank you.
Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence today, and we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness to each one of us. This morning, as we think about the ascension of the Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have promised that he has gone to prepare a place for us. What a great hope. Thank you that you did not leave us on our own, but you sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We thank you that each one of us who truly love you and have acknowledged you as Lord and Saviour have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to lead, guide and comfort us. We acknowledge that we need you every day. We thank you for our church family, and we pray for each one, from the little children who are finding it difficult to understand why they can't be with their grandparents or their school friends, to those who are wondering about their transfer tests and changing schools, those who were supposed to be sitting important exams and thinking about third level education or job prospects. It is an anxious time for all these young people. We also think of those folk worried about their employment, anxiety over finance, and other issues we are not aware of. Those struggling with loneliness, ill health, and those in hospital at this time. We remember also those families who have had a bereavement recently. Father, we pray that you will comfort them. We remember all those who are caring for loved ones at home and for those whose relatives are in care homes. We pray for those individuals and for their families as they struggle with not being able to visit. We pray for the workers in the care homes at this difficult time, and indeed for all the frontline staff, wherever they are based. We pray for protection on each one of them and for strength and stamina to enable them to do their demanding jobs each day. Father, we bring before you our missionary family at home and abroad. We pray that you will give them wisdom and patience as they wait for you to guide and direct them how best to serve you at this time. We remember especially Peter Carrigan and the work of OM. We thank you for Peter's report, and we pray that as he leads activities on board ship, he won't burn out, and he will manage his time well and continue to trust you through it all. We pray also for the crew members, that they will hunger for God's word and know a sense of unity. And we ask for wisdom for the OM leaders as they decide their next steps. Finally, Father, we thank you for our pastors and church leaders who tirelessly encourage us and bring a new message for us each day. Bless them and their families. And now, as we listen to your word this morning, we pray that our hearts will be open to hear what you want to teach us and to act upon what we have learned. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
When Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, just a matter of hours before he would be arrested, tried, beaten, hung on a cross, buried in a tomb, and raised from the dead, Jesus was teaching his disciples about how they should live after he would go to be with his Father. And he said many outstanding things in this upper room sermon. But he said something incredible in the middle of it. In John chapter 16, verse 7, he says to his disciples, "It's better for you that I should go, so that the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit might come and indwell your hearts and your lives and be your teacher and be your guide to take the mission of Jesus to the ends of the earth." But you might imagine that the disciples would have been staggered and stunned by this teaching. That it would be better that their rabbi would go. The one whom they had spent so much time with over the last 3 years, and he would no longer be with them. You can imagine they were thinking, that could never be a positive thing. And yet in Acts chapter 1, the ascension of Jesus Christ proves to us that it would ultimately be a positive thing for the disciples of Jesus and everyone who has sought to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this Ascension Sunday, when we celebrate that Jesus ascended to his Father after 40 days of being alive post his resurrection, I believe it teaches us a number of things. Firstly, Ascension Sunday proves to us Jesus is alive. It proves to us Jesus is alive. Let's listen to Dr. Luke in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. He writes in the first book, "O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, even as the angels announced his birth, that today in the city of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord, and that he would be good news of great joy for all the people." Then into Luke chapter 4, as Jesus began his preaching and his teaching ministry in that synagogue, when he picked up Isaiah's scroll and says that he has come to release those in captivity, to free the prisoner, to open up the eyes of the blind. And he said to the crowd that day, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." In Dr. Luke's first account, the Gospel of Luke, he taught Theophilus, and he teaches you and me, all that Jesus began to do and teach. And now, as we've been studying in the book of Acts, it's the sequel. It's all that Jesus continues to do, only this time it would be through his apostles and his followers, through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. But right here at the beginning, in verses 1 to 3, I believe the Ascension teaches us that Jesus really is alive. Consider what Dr. Luke continues to say. Verse 2, "Until the day when Jesus was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days after speaking about the kingdom of God." You might say today, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, why did Jesus leave it 40 days from his resurrection to them going to be with his Father. Well, I believe Jesus wanted to give you, and he wanted to give me, historical and concrete evidence from the eyes of eyewitnesses that he was alive. And all the appearances after his resurrection, appearing to the disciples, appearing to them back in Galilee as he appears in the lake and Simon Peter sees him and he throws himself into the water because he wants to see the Lord again, as he reveals himself to doubting Thomas, as the Apostle Paul reveals in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to over 500 of the brothers and sisters. I believe in this 40-day period between the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ, he wanted people like you and me to have concrete historical proof that he was alive, that people saw him, that people could see the nail-scarred hands and feet. Could I challenge you on this Ascension Sunday? Do you believe Jesus is alive? Way back in this first century, there were many eyewitnesses that could stand over the fact that Jesus actually was raised from the dead and they saw him. In fact, many men and women in this book of Acts would preach that good news to their death, that they saw Jesus, that Jesus was alive. Ascension Sunday proves that to us. Ascension Sunday prohibits
Christians to do ministry without the Holy Spirit. It prohibits you, if you're a Christian this morning, to do ministry for him without the power of God, the Holy Spirit. How do we know this? Well, Jesus speaks to them. And while staying with them, he ordered them, the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you heard from me. As we heard at the beginning of our teaching time this morning, Jesus in the upper room before the cross and before the resurrection had said to them that the Father would send the Spirit who would fill them, who would lead them, who would guide them, who would direct them. And now that he, 40 days after his resurrection, is ascending to the Father, he says to these disciples, you will not be able to do any effective ministry unless you wait for the fullness and the baptism of the Spirit. I wonder, you Christian, before these days had come upon us, were you doing your Christian ministry in the fullness of God the Holy Spirit? Were you tempted to focus on the program at church or the power of God? Jesus, I believe, here in this Ascension Day, wants the disciples to grasp that they and you and me simply cannot do ministry without the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And so he tells them to wait. Verse 5, he says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Here we are, 40 days from the resurrection of Christ. And in another 10 days' time, the Holy Spirit will come upon these disciples in tongues of fire. And Simon Peter, who just a number of weeks before this account in Acts 1 said that he would never disown his Lord, and yet as Jesus was being tried as a criminal, he was around a little fire. And the little girl said to him, aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? And he denied knowing Jesus. Before the cross, before the resurrection, before the fullness and the baptizing of the Spirit, Peter had no power. And yet at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 10 days after this account of the ascension of Jesus, Peter would stand up in the middle of Jerusalem in the public square and declare, men of Israel, this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. God the Holy Spirit can so fill you and me as a Christian that we can know his supernatural filling and power. But the disciples just don't get it yet. So in verse 6, Luke records for us, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. We could be tempted to throw rocks at the disciples here, but they were thinking in national terms and not about the nations. You see, they were thinking about the nationalistic hope of Israel. Is this a time where God is going to set up a physical kingdom where Israel will become a military strength again and throw off the restraints of Roman occupation? No, Jesus wants them to push past all of those things and to remember that the nation of Israel in Isaiah 49 was actually to be a light to the nations, that they were to bring the message of good news to the kingdoms of the world. He doesn't want you or me or the disciples to think in nationalistic terms, but through the Spirit's power, that we might think of the nations. That this good news about Jesus Christ must start in Jerusalem, must spread into the surrounding area in Judea, must go into Samaria, and must go to the ends of the earth. And the ascension of Jesus, and 10 days later at Pentecost, would ignite this mission. Could I challenge you, Christian? Don't do any ministry in these days or in the coming days without the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in his letter to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, but you must go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Dr. Luke has already recorded for us the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 11. He said, you though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Could I encourage you this day, Christian, to wait upon God and to ask God to give you more of the Holy Spirit today? Ascension Sunday teaches us and proves to us Jesus is alive. Secondly, it prohibits us from doing any ministry without the person and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And thirdly, the ascension of Jesus promises us power from on high. It promises us power from on high, because he promised that when he would go, the Spirit would come. Verse 8. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the roadmap of the mission of Jesus. It's the table of contents for the book of Acts, where the global message of Jesus will start in the holy city of Jerusalem, but it would spread to the ends of the earth because of the power of God the Holy Spirit. Don't you need his power today? If you're going to reach people for Jesus Christ in your biological world, that's your family. If you're going to reach people for Jesus Christ in your geographical world where you live. If you're going to reach Jesus Christ in your vocational world where you work or serve. If you're going to reach people for Jesus Christ in your recreational world where you play. You, like me, are going to need power from on high. As you step out to do ministry for Christ, you need the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, to so fill you that you wouldn't be like Peter before the cross and shy away from declaring that you know and love Jesus, but that you will be like Simon Peter after the cross, after the resurrection, after the filling of the Spirit at Pentecost, and that you will have power. And so Jesus must descend, verse 9. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while the disciples were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, could I leave you with a challenge today? In the same way that Jesus ascended from this earth, 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, the Bible says he is coming again. The book of Revelation actually says, and every eye will see him. It is my prayer that on this day, that your eyes might be opened to see Jesus, to see him in all of his beauty, to see him as the one who said that he was who he is, and that on this day you might experience cleansing for your sin, that you might experience new hope, that you might experience the presence and power of God the Holy Spirit, and that you too can join the other followers of Jesus doing ministry in his way, for his glory, and in the power of God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to hand back to the team this morning who are going to lead us in our closing song.
As we come to the end of our service this morning, and we think of the risen, exalted, ascended Jesus, let's sing the wonderful song, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. And let's be encouraged by the verse that says, let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth and death has lost its sting.
For joining us today. I hope you've been encouraged by what you have heard and challenged to live for the living Jesus in the power of this Holy Spirit. Can I remind you that on Wednesday night the Bangor Wide are having a broadcast at 7:45 as they launch for this year's convention. And if you're a regular at Hamilton Road, you should have received an email last week about some videos that we're trying to put together in coming weeks. So can I encourage you to see if you'd like to contribute to those and to send your videos in so that we can get working on them. But let's finish our broadcast today with the final words recorded in the Bible of the Lord Jesus. It says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Have a good day. God bless.